This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So, download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 929 FM ESPN. Hopefully you are having a pleasant hump day. It's April 9th so far. Always pleasant when we're coming off a Grizzlies win, and lately there's been a few of them. Three in a row. Tomas Isalo improves to 3-3 as Grizzlies coach. Now, Ed Doug, an 0-3 hole, but remember, that was against pretty stiff competition. I've gone out on this road trip and gotten all three, 124-100 over the Charlotte Hornets last night. Ja Morant continues to look good. How about Zach Edey? Zaquiel. That's what Shaquille called him. That was pretty good. 40 rebounds the last two games. He was an absolute stud last night. Did come with a high cost, obviously. Everybody's talking about it today. And, yeah, if you saw his IG last night, you certainly felt for him if you didn't already, if you hadn't seen it. Jalen Wells, likely out for the season, broke his wrist. Tough fall, hard fall after a dunk. He gets undercut. Pete Pranica appropriately put it that way. And he was. Maybe dirty, no. But as Jeffrey Wright said, I'd agree. The word is reckless, and it really costs you. A team going nowhere, a team that's tanking, a player of little relevance takes out a guy that's been a starter for you, a guy that's literally played in every single Grizzlies game this season. We're all feeling for Jalen Wells this morning, again, likely out for the season, and you are in the middle, in the thick of, you know, trying to hold down, trying to grab one of these playoff spots. Boy, what a big loss. It was last night in a win. Still was a little tough to come in here, and you think about Jalen Wells and what he'd done for them this season and what you'd have hoped, you know, he could still do for you. Finish out these regular season three, and in the postseason. It's going to be unfortunate to not have him. You're already shorthanded without Brandon Clark.
Yeah, that was a scary situation last night.
Really was. About 25-minute delay. Game, you know, stopped.
Yeah, KJ Simpson obviously came out and was remorseful for that, right? Like, he did not intend to hurt Jalen Wells, did not intend to. I don't even think it was a dirty play. I think he was contesting it and he lost his own balance and should you he have just let him score? Probably.
Yes. It's Charlotte.
Yeah,
you're going nowhere. But, he absolutely should have let him score.
You know, these guys, I assume KJ Simpson's not on some long-term deal, you know. So it's just really unfortunate, all the way around. But obviously glad that Jalen is going to be okay ultimately. It could have been, you know, worse than a broken wrist. It certainly feels like there. He came out on Twitter last night, KJ Simpson did, and said, how extremely sorry he was about it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, my prayers are with Jalen Wells. I know we already spoken. They're good friends, bro. But again, I just want to express not only to Jay, but to his family as well, how deeply sorry I am. I would never purposely do that to anyone. I'm just extremely sorry, especially with the talent Jay is. I know he's going to be special. And just from the many times our paths have crossed, I'm blessed to know he's an even better person with an amazing story. I just wanted to again say sorry to Jay and his family. I can't say it enough.
Again, man, You don't see that in the league. That's why, you know, I'm watching Dale Curry do it. And I went back and listened to Pranica and what Brevin Knights had to say about it. But Dale had talked about never seeing anything like it during his time in the league. And especially in this situation, John, Charlotte's got the light turned off. I don't care what the guy's trying to prove individually. There are some things you don't do in basketball. He's literally about a lap behind Jalen Wells, and you're trying to make that up. I get the I'm sorry, but this is extremely costly for a team that had a future in a postseason.
Yeah.
You know, you give that up. That's what everybody in the league does. That's why we don't see things like that on a nightly. But that was not routine. I'm fine with it wasn't dirty, but it was absolutely reckless and foolish by a young player.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. I would agree with
foolish.
That. You know, just, you know, live to fight another possession.
This team's, you know, trying to go on, has got a future after this last night in Charlotte.
Yeah.
You know, and so does this young man.
Yeah.
So ridiculous play by him.
Yeah. So Jalen Wells out for the season, costly last night, obviously. And you look at it again. He
had no, look how far behind he was, bro. He had no business even touching Jalen at that point.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And,
totally.
And especially with the situation his team is in.
Yeah.
Like, you have to understand there are unwritten rules in the NBA.
Yeah.
And those vets over there have done obviously a poor job of laying some, this is just, those are common sense things in the league.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate.
Like you said the key, which is just young, naive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just thought
trying to prove something to his coach. I'm sure it's like you said, but there are things you can prove it on another play. You don't no do doubt. It by, you know, taking Jalen Wells out, getting any kind of reckless.
You are not LeBron James,
especially with a team that's again has postseason aspirations.
I'm not even sure LeBron could have chased that one down. So
I mean, they're tanking, bro.
Right. Yeah, that was a tough one, tough scene seeing him getting carried off on the stretcher there.
It really was.
And you know, of course, he posted that he's okay.
Like you said, thank goodness, because it looked like it could have been much worse with the back, possibly your neck, your head.
Yeah.
So much involved with that. We're fortunate. He's, you know, that it's just a wrist. It does. It's awful that it's going to cost him the rest of the year. The one guy that had played in every game of the season.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. I'm really unfortunate because now, I mean. You start talking
about the playoffs. 79 games played and 74 starts, I believe it was. It's just crazy.
The importance of Vince Williams Jr. just went up too. I mean, because that was your point of attack guy in Jalen Wells. So you're going to have to get more from Vince Williams starting now.
Yeah. And ended up being the story last night, no doubt.
All right. Lots to get to on the show today. Grizz get another dub. That's 1-2-3 in a row. 124-100 win. Cover. All is good for the Memphis Grizzlies. Ja Morant is pulling deep into his bag for the celly. It was not the sling. It was the nade.
Mm-mm.
It was the grenade, man.
Yep.
It was the grenade.
He's also doing an ear thing. He did it after the grenade, but also later on, just the ears, maybe. Maybe I'm a mistake, but that's also so maybe somebody can. I heard Mike Wallace say, I know what that is. You know, but I don't know that we ever got the answer. Michael Wallace from
now he did Rise do the Beat. He did the ears. I know for
after
a fact,
the grenade the first
he threw
time
that one.
I figured that was part of that.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
so
yeah.
So is it just, you know, not throwing the grenade later because again he went to the ears later. I thought it was okay. I'm not hearing the noise, but who knows anymore? I'm done trying to interpret the ones that we can't understand.
No, totally fair. Yeah, I don't know, but we could understand that one. I gotta say I enjoyed it.
Everybody loves the grenade.
You didn't like the grenade?
It's fine. I more liked the play, actually. I more liked the 28 points, the 8 assists.
Yeah.
And I like this Ja Morant under Tuomas Iisalo.
Yeah.
He's been fantastic. That's what matters most here. We can talk grenade. It can be the top of the conversation I've heard discussed, and we can do it here. But the way Ja Morant is playing under Iisalo is key here because that's about next season. That's about whether or not Iisalo is the right guy. If you don't have Ja bought in, there's no way you can do it.
Right.
He's got Ja playing at a high level. So
he
you
does.
Figure if you're trying to convince him, the superstar here, that you're the man for the job, things seem to be going well if you're looking at Ja's numbers of late. He's actually shooting the ball really well, too, his last five. I think over 40% from three.
Yeah.
And had it going last night, was 4 of 10.
Yeah. A lot.
And that's when we got the grenade.
Exactly. Got the grenade, and, you know, he threw it in the Charlotte crowd. They got it. I don't know if they're – the good news is probably not that many people there, right?
Oh, there were not. I was telling Crib, that's – you can get yourself a good ticket going to watch anybody in Charlotte.
That's right.
Any team you want.
So we'll get into all that today. Jason Fitz going to join us at 11:25. He was at the Final Four. I got a chance to catch up with him for literally 2 minutes. Two minutes.
Well, at least you saw him.
Saw him, and that was it. He was actually very nice. He came to one of the spots we were doing the show from that day.
You were working.
And I was working. I caught a break. By the time I had a real break, he had to go do an assignment. So just our two ships kind of passed in the night is the way that went.
Well, it'd be a little bit longer meeting here today.
Yes. So we'll talk today about his experience in San Antonio, some NFL.
Draft.
Some drafts coming up.
We're so close.
That's right.
2 weeks on the day.
And then at 1:25, we're going to be joined by Norton Hurd the fourth. We'll talk to him about college basketball, transfer portal, Memphis, all that.
Who's the next LeBaron Fialon?
Who is the next?
I'm sure he's got him right now.
And
They were in Atlanta last. Good question. I have no
idea. For the draft?
I'm assuming he's declaring for the draft, bro. Last I looked, he was lottery-ish.
Yeah.
Now, he might have come down a little bit where he's a late first. You're still going to go.
Yeah.
We'll ask your man.
So Hurd will join us at 1:25. So that is the show today. Memphis football had a transfer.
Talking about unfortunate. Looked like he was much needed.
Yes.
What can you do?
Offensive lineman transferred late last night. Spring practice has started, right?
They've been in spring practice.
They're
about to give you that spring game. What is it, 24th, somewhere around there?
Yeah.
We can zero in on it.
Yeah. So that is the show today. Looking forward to it. But, yes. Three in a row for the Memphis Grizzlies. Get you up to date on what's going on in the world of the NBA. You mentioned John Morant. John Morant had 28, 8, and 5. Zach Edey had 17 and 19. Did your man Nick Richards, Mark Williams play? He did. Mark Williams did play.
Couldn't do anything with him. He was one-handing him. Zach is on one in the Isalo era. He is. 40 rebounds the last two games. Go look. I mean, he's putting up – he is doing a great job of convincing me, and I'm sure those of you that were with me on the doubt side of whether he could truly be a guy that can replace Steven Adams in the rebounding department. Steven was dominant. And so, it's like he's learning more every game, getting more comfortable. 40 rebounds in two games from a rookie, I think it is. I think it was Shaq or something. You got to go back. And so he's putting this together now, along with obviously the space he's creating for Ja. So if you are Zach Kleiman up there after all the chaos and everything else, and everybody questioning you what's going on and what you're doing, you're sitting back and watching your first round draft pick that the head coach you fired was out on and not playing. He's now shining under the man that we're pretty sure you convinced yourself last summer at some point could be the head coach of the Grizzlies. And, oh, by the way, you threw him in with 9 games left. It's going well.
Right.
With those particular factors, Edey and Ja Morant sort of feeding off of Edey's presence. And Edey's just, too, you have to give him all the credit. He's developing with these minutes, and you just wonder, why couldn't this have happened earlier?
Yeah.
With more consistent minutes, more importantly, a slower pace.
Yeah.
You didn't have to be number one in the league. We kept saying it, especially with as much as you were turning over the ball. Play to this guy's strengths at times, and it seems like they've done that. They've slowed down the pace. They got Edey involved, and it's not just what he's doing from an offensive standpoint, but from a rebound standpoint, he's picked it up offensively.
Yeah.
The guy is comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And there's been a complete switch since the change to Isalo. Put him back in the starting lineup, but you're getting high level from this rookie.
Yeah, I think, obviously.
Bodes well.
It just feels like T.I. is making his very strong case for this job.
So far.
Again, we'll see how the play-in goes. We'll see, or the playoffs, whichever, But it just feels like it's going to be hard to say the job's not his.
Well, especially when you probably already wanted that to happen anyway.
Right.
All you needed was some evidence to, sort of cement it for yourself. Again, you go back to Drew's piece, what the Grizzlies invested to get him, the fact that this guy was considering head coaching jobs in the NBA, Wizards he turned down. That's the part of it. You wanted to see could he put the fire out, like we talked about. It was a dumpster fire.
Right.
He's put the fire out. Now, that's three bad teams. Detroit's not bad. That was a good win. You did without Ja.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you needed to get these wins. You've been good against Eastern Conference teams. The three good teams, Western Conference, what, including Boston, but you got Lakers, Golden State. You lost those. But, yes, he's been, you got to say it's solid to good.
Right.
Especially, again, as it relates to the most important thing on the court, which is Ja Morant.
Yeah.
Averaging 28 points under.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a revelation a little bit.
You know Ja likes that.
Yeah. So I think that's a big part of it. You're getting more out of Ja. You're getting more out of Edie. So I just feel like it's a good step. So Grizzlies win. That was good. Timberwolves lose. That was good. You're trying to avoid this multi-way tie.
That's unbelievable the way they lost that game. 24 points up in the fourth, bro. Wow. You don't understand how miraculous that was a win by, and just what a collapse that was by Minnesota.
Yeah. Outscored 40-13 in the fourth quarter.
Uh-huh.
Pretty nuts. So obviously that breaks up the tie, right?
Well, it should have been a five-way tie. You have now Denver in there with you four-way. Minnesota should have been tied with you five-way.
Yep.
Absolutely blew it last night. Important, what's going on in Minnesota, obviously you've got them next tomorrow at FedEx Forum.
Yeah.
But they have to feel like wasted opportunity. You were dominating that game. 24 points in the fourth quarter, they were up.
Yeah.
And getting out, and you know, what did you say it was, 40-13?
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
So, I mean, tomorrow's going to be a playoff game.
And essentially they all are now because you get Denver after that on the next night.
Although it's going to be difficult to stay out of the play-in anyway. I mean, now you're just trying to, you know, hold on to seven, it feels like, because, I mean, I guess you do play the Nuggets.
No, that's why it's doable. Yeah. The Nuggets are, bro, they're flailing.
Yeah, but they're
dropping like a rock.
Yeah, they play tonight. Oh, so it's a you know, you got a back to back. You know, what are you playing, 3 and 4,
mm-hmm.
for the Grizzlies? So we'll see on health. The Nuggets have the Kings tonight on the road, and then obviously they'll get back to Denver for that meeting with the Grizzlies. I mean, it's possible. You know, at least you control some element of it.
Beat Minnesota, you're going to be in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
To really set yourself up for an opportunity at Denver.
Yeah,
a struggling Denver team.
Yeah,
that I didn't see. I mean, Jamal Murray's missed those last five. I'm not sure of his status.
Well, is he going to pull the jaw and come back first, new coach's first game?
Could, because a lot of this was about playing Westbrook and not playing rookies that the GM wanted, and who knows how the team felt about that. Maybe Jamal Murray felt away, but I'm not exactly sure of how serious
Jamal's
his injury
still doubtful.
Was.
He's doubtful for the game tonight.
Yeah, I don't think his was associated with alone.
Tonight.
I mean, he won a championship with the guy.
So if they don't have Jamal Murray, I mean, he's so big to what they do.
Mm? Dude, look at them. They're, what are they, 3-7 last 10? Whatever it is, it's awful. They're headed, you know, they look like you did, you know, 3-4 games ago.
Right.
Just in terms of the spiral they're in.
I would imagine that, you know.
There's an opportunity, man, to win these two. And then, you know, you finish off with Dallas, who I think, you know, is battling for a spot. But
right.
If this would be five in a row if you can get these next two.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd feel awfully good about the way you're playing, about the way Ja's playing, about the way this Edie's playing, about getting that last one and running the table. I don't think that's out, you know, I don't think it's unrealistic.
No.
With the way they're playing lately and what feels like a sort of a confidence growing under Isola.
Right. I mean, they'll be favored tomorrow probably by, you know, 2.5 to 3 would be my guess. And then, you know, there'll be maybe a slight underdog, like a 1.5-point underdog, maybe more because of the altitude, I don't know. But nothing crazy, maybe a 2.5-point underdog at most.
Favorite at home against Dallas.
And then you'll be favorite at home against Dallas. So you'll be favorite in 2 of your next 3. Go 2-1.
With his tight end. Dude, the 3 and the – does it go – it's all the way down to 8 are separated by 2 games.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It really is. It really is, so, man.
Some team, just like last night, all those, you know, Golden State won, all the big favorites, Clippers won.
Clippers did win.
But Milwaukee somehow comes back. Remember, they were the underdog last night. Giannis ended up playing like we talked about. But to come back from 24 down in the fourth,
right.
Minnesota was supposed to win last night, too, and keep pace and have a five-way tie.
This is fun. Like
it's turned out to be kind of certainly compelling.
Yeah, like
if nothing else, I guess it's fun because we've won 3 in a row.
Yeah.
You can tell yourself right now.
Let's see what
you can see
fall.
A way out of it. Yeah,
yeah.
And Jaws again. I keep going back to Jaws. As long as dude is vibing and feeling good.
Yeah.
And maybe anything can happen.
They had really lost 7 in a row. The Grizz.
7.
Yeah, because it says on here they're 3-7 their last 10. They've won 3
that's
in a row.
Gonna be right. I think what it ended up being under Taylor.
No, they're 4-6 in the last 10.
All right. Google's
there was
off.
One snuck in there.
Google's off. But yeah, they obviously weren't playing well. They weren't playing well at all. and turned in the wrong way. So, no, it'd be fun. It'd be a good time, man. You know, a Warriors. I watched. I was watching TNT last night, so I caught the Celtics Knicks game, and then I caught the Warriors Suns just obliteration.
Mm-hmm.
And Devin Booker's in the locker room, and like some old guys, like, you know, this is embarrassing, right? And Devin Booker's like, yeah. He's like, well, what's going on? What's so what makes so embarrassing? And he's like, I don't know. It's hard to say what it is. It's just we don't have winning habits. And then the reporter's like, turnovers. What is it? Like, it was just really, really uncomfortable, man. I got to get that clip. But he was grilling Devin Booker's ass.
Devin Booker should want out.
I'm sure he does.
With the way Phoenix has mishandled this whole thing, thinking this was gonna work. Remember, we all said, okay, that three, even with Beal, where he was in his career, they have no cast around it.
Yeah.
And so there were always doubts.
Yeah.
It was going to have to be this you know, this big three carrying you. But what a disaster.
Remember when they were in the finals?
What a disaster this is now.
And not only were they in the finals, they had a lead, right?
I'm pretty sure
it wasn't 3-1, but.
Well, my point is that Booker.
Yeah, they were up 2-1.
There you go. He's regressed as a player as a result of this, and he must not trust Phoenix and this new leadership at all.
Yeah.
Was it Ishbia? He's going to have to go a different way. Thought he could make a big splash coming in. It is blown up in his face. Let's see how serious they are about fixing it, because it's going to take a lot.
Yeah. They were actually up 2-0 in that series, and then they went back to Milwaukee, and Milwaukee won the next two. They ended up winning that series in six. They won four in a row. Pretty impressive. But, yeah, that goes to show you how damn quick it can turn on you.
A mess.
Because you would say the Sun. Let's go back to 2021. We just said, man, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, Chris Paul, Mikal Bridges, these folks ain't going nowhere, bro. These folks are going to be a factor every, and now they're one of the worst teams in the league. You know, it's just kind of crazy.
Yeah, they're going to have to tear that down, I think, to properly rebuild it.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, we'll get into all of that today here on the show. Jason Fitz going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about the college basketball championship, NFL draft, lots more to come. Stick around, Jason and John, 99 FM, ESPN.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday early access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Jason Fitz, the host for Yahoo. He's a friend of the show. And I got the distinct honor and privilege of shaking his hand and seeing his beautiful face for about 1 minute and 35 seconds in San Antonio. He joins us now. What's up, my guy?
I mean, you're bad luck for me, too, because I thought I was done for the day. So I come over, I sit down and hang out, I order myself a Diet Coke, I'm ready to catch up with the buddy, and then all of a sudden, bam, new work was created. I don't know. I felt like maybe you set a curse on me, and you just wanted to have to go work harder for the rest of the day.
Well, no, you're in the presence of a grinder, right? That's just sort of the energy that I put out into the universe. So if
it's the worker bee with the puffer vest. That is the, and it looked good. I got to admit, like, it looked good. It's just, you were one day early because it was like 93 degrees
good
that
grief.
Day. And then the next day, the wind chill was in the 30s. What the hell happened? Like, we went from all of a sudden, like, I didn't bring anything for cold. And it went from, like, butt crack sweat to suddenly shivering everywhere we went in San Antonio.
Yeah, it was. I caught a little bit of it. I left the next day. And so I was like, man, this is just extremely strange weather. But it was great to, again, catch up for about 90 seconds. And you know what? In this economy, you know, you got to take the work, you know, you got to take
Amen,
the work,
brother. So, Amen. Yeah. I don't say no to work ever, but I especially don't say no in a contract year when I'm up in a few months. Let's just be honest about it for a minute.
There we go. All right. You know, a lot of people kind of came into this Final Four. They said, you know, man, we didn't get the upsets. We didn't get the underdogs. We didn't get so these games better be good. Did these games deliver, Fitz?
Yeah, I think, look, this is what we do in sports. A great ending is better than a great game. So, look, we got great endings. Like, I don't think the national championship was particularly a clean game to watch, but we got a great ending, and that makes it memorable. And, you know, what we got realistically were the four best teams going at it, and dramatic endings because of it. So, yeah, I think it lived up to all the hype. And, y'all, like, I kept asking all of the players and coaches how they felt about the death of Cinderella storyline. And they all echoed the sentiment I think we would want. They're like, okay, top four seeds, best basketball, that's all that matters. But I really walked away from the tournament saying, we just need to recalibrate our conversation. Cinderellas now are not teams. They're individuals. Like, you can't tell me that a Jani Broome playing at Morehead State and then having the opportunity to be the player of the year, something that he wouldn't have even been in conversation for. Like, that's a Cinderella, right? Like, watching guys that played at small schools and then get this opportunity. Like, we're sitting here saying, oh, my God, what about the small schools? I'm saying, oh, my God, what about the kids that use the small schools to get better at what they're doing and then get the opportunity to go compete for a championship? Like, that's the ultimate glass slipper moment. And I think we got a ton of that in the course of this tournament. So I think it was really a beautiful thing for college basketball.
Which collapse surprised you more, Duke's against Houston's or Houston's in the championship game?
Everybody's going to say Duke to that, but I'm not, because I'll say this. Houston, look, just watch their opening player introductions. They got GR next to a bunch of those guys, like grad students. Like,
yep.
They played so much basketball. And I was sitting next to Marcus Morris, our analyst for the tournament on Yahoo Sports. And early on in this one, it was a 12-point lead. Marcus was the one that said, man, a 12-point deficit to Houston is the same as a 20 or 30-point deficit other teams. Like, the way they play defense and just watching that absolute collapse, and you can feel it. Like, I was, I don't know, 10 feet from the ball when he didn't touch it on the last play. Like, I was sitting second row of the side court watching that thing happen. And you could palpably feel Houston just tightened up. You just could. And once Florida felt that, they went for the jugular. So to me, yeah, I mean, look, an entire dome of 65,000 people thought Cooper Flagg was going to hit the winning shot. That speaks to Cooper's greatness. He did not hit that winning shot. But, man, the collapse of Houston combined with the fact that their defense wasn't able to get the very stops that we're so used to them getting,
yep,
I think is really and Houston fans and those players will never forget that.
Yeah, so
I agree with you.
I went and did the math. That was only the fourth time. Let me pull up the exact because again, like you talk about, like when you get a 12-point lead like that against Houston, you just expect it to
stay. It feels like 20 is so right.
So it's only the fourth time since Kelvin Sampson took over in 2014-15 that Houston blew a second half lead of 12 or more. So
my God,
four times in 10 years.
Man. With vets, to Fitz's point, yeah. Not rookies.
With Kelvin Sampson, too, being such a great coach, I was really surprised because, again, I'll go back to players sitting next to me. I had four or five players sitting next to me. And the conversation early in the second half was the tone changed from the officials. We all know that. Like, they went from not calling anything.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
I watched people get shoved to the ground and nothing was called in the first half. And I said, you know what? Perfect. They're calling it equal on both sides. Who cares? In the second half, they came out. And they were absent. They were calling it equally still, but they changed their tone. But what really surprised me is when we got the technical foul, Marcus and a couple other players were talking about the point that at that point, Florida had had way more fouls called on them than Houston had. And one thing all of the players kept saying is this is the moment in this huddle where the coaches are going to remind you that will even out. The officials see it. The officials realize it. Even if it's subconscious, those calls will even out. So the strategy at that point for Florida needed to be just drive, just get it, do anything you can to create a foul. A foul is better than a shot right now because we know we're going to get those calls. All the players kept echoing that. And what did we see after that? Just a run of fouls on Houston because it was, in fact, leveling out. The number of calls were leveling out. And that turned out to be a massive advantage for Florida in the second half. And I'm just stunned that a coach like Kelvin Sampson didn't make that adjustment. And I'm not stunned like a coach like Goldson over at Florida that studies analytics so much immediately understood that. Like, I think that this is hard to say because Kelvin Sampson is a legend in our business. But, man, he got out-coached in the second half, and it's not even close.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, and I don't think enough attention has been paid sort of to what Kelvin could have done. We sort of give him that benefit of the doubt as that Hall of Famer. On the SEC and its dominance this year, and you cap it off, right? You make sure that you tell the rest of the country this was no fluke breaking the record having 14 by winning your first national championship since I think it's 2012, Fitzy, since Kentucky. Do you think this is here to stay with revenue sharing, with what's now happened with their coaches, the quality of coach they have, Ole Miss, they keep Chris Beard. I mean, it just seems like there's this focus now that we've got this thing. I'm sure Sankey's thing, and we're going to keep it strong. Are they here to stay, Fitzy? Or is it going to be a deal where it's cyclical and maybe, for a couple of years, the Big 12 will be the best conference, and, oh, by the way, okay, Big 10 one year here. You think the SEC is going to dominate it for a while?
Yeah, I do, because – frankly, what just happened, I think the SEC, look, I would expect the Big Ten and an eventual, I still think that it's just as good as done, that we're eventually going to have an ACC Big East merger. I think that's really going to happen for basketball. They will try, but the problem is how at this point, because the SEC is not going to be outspent.
Right.
And one of the under-talked about NIL things I think that you have to really genuinely look at right now is that it just got a lot easier for Florida to go to every booster. Like, when you win a national championship, then you go in and say, hey, man, we want to keep this going. We just need a few extra $1 million. I heard firsthand from a player agent in San Antonio of a player that last year averaged 6 points a game in college basketball that right now is negotiating a transfer deal for $1.5 million, and he wants more. Like, he wants more than that. He's not willing to sign for $1.5 million. So I think – look, there's inevitabilities. Eventually, we're going to get to revenue sharing, to collective bargaining, to college athletes being unionized. All that's going to happen in the next 10 years. I think that's the map's done on that. There's no point in fighting it.
Yeah.
But in the interim, until then, the question isn't how do you beat the SEC? It's how do you get better facilities, better coaches, and better players? How do you outspend the SEC? And to do that, to really catch up, if you're a school, like if you're Memphis and you say, okay, I want to take down Florida. I genuinely think the one-year investment on that would take $25 or $30 million. And the question is the school willing to do it? And that's at least, like, and I mean, 25 to 30, that's actually under. You're going to have to outspend Florida by $25 or $30 million to catch up on the ground that you've already lost to the amount of money they're raising. We're going to reach the spot until they change the Wild Wild West where winning a championship is something that I think could cost you $50 million in a year. How many teams are going to, like, basketball championship could cost you $50 million? How many teams are going to be willing to do that?
Yeah. I mean, it's
intimidating to think about from this angle.
It is.
Here in Memphis.
Because, that's one of the things that, is an adjustment. I've told this story before. So people, are, I'm sure, are sick of hearing it by this point. But I was talking to a Power 5 coach in San Antonio who said his NIL went from 2.3 to 6 point something in the span of one offseason. And, you know, Memphis, which had a budget of $4.5 million, you know, give or take last year, which was great. Like, that was amongst the tops in the sport last year. It's not anymore. And so the balance of power, even for a place like Memphis, you know, if you're in the Big East where you don't have to worry about football, you're going to be a big beneficiary as well, too, because, you know, you don't have to worry about sharing it with football. But a place like Memphis that's trying to kind of prop up both, like, are you sort of sacrificing one for the, you know, I mean, it's just tough decisions that are going to kind of have to be made here.
Yeah, and this is where, man, I feel dirty saying this, but as you talk about it, like, it just becomes clear. Financially competing in football is going to be virtually impossible for Memphis. So if I'm a school like Memphis or
they just lost it, they just lost an offensive lineman to the transfer portal yesterday. As spring, I got they expected to start just to sort of bottom line your point there.
I mean, if I'm a school that thinks I have a shot at competing in basketball, I honestly consider just shutting down football in the modern climate. Like, I consider every dollar, if I'm, like, look at Connecticut. Every dollar Connecticut spends on football is a dollar they should be spending on basketball. Because they're not going to be competitive in football. So why not? Like, they're going to win 6-7 games at most in a good year. But their basketball team's got a chance at winning natties. So, like, those are going to be real decisions that I think schools across the board are going to have to start making, you know, every year. You're going to have to look at it and say, okay, if it's going to cost hundreds of millions of dollars to compete in football, then are we willing to do that? And I know people are rolling their eyes at the money, but I mentioned to you guys before, like, I was told, and I haven't confirmed this, so I'm just seconding, I was told for Baylor that every single player on Baylor made at least 1.5 this year. So that's what I've been told by people in the know. So start thinking about what that means for, like I grew up a UNLV fan, and I've said over and over and over again, can UNLV ever be competitive? And I was talking to a couple of analysts about it over the weekend because they really liked the coaching hire. But immediately when I was like, should I be excited? They all laughed and they said no, because until there's a $20 million check that comes in for the program, and that's just to get the right players. That doesn't include what you have to build in facilities to try and entice these kids too. Because, like, it's a sales pitch. They walk in the door, there's a sales pitch involved. So, you know, so that's where it gets suffocating. And I genuinely think that we're going to see, before basketball dies, we're going to see a lot of teams, a lot of schools that turn around and say, you know what, we're just not even going to try in football anymore. And we're going to see, like, you know, I live a block in Connecticut from Central Connecticut. Nobody's ever heard of Central Connecticut, but they went to their conference championship game and had a chance to make the NCAA tournament. They lost that game to Fairfield. Fairfield won it, lost in the opening round. That's only significant because the day after they lost, they declassified to Division III. And they were just in the NCAA tournament. They're like, yeah, this is never going to be worth it for us. So I think you're going to see a bunch of the small schools end up declassifying to D3. And then you're going to see the mid-major sort of level of D1 try and figure out, okay, do we want to just pick one sport to be competitive? And then we're going to end up with a mega league of 40 football teams, and that's it. It'll be like the NFL. If you prefer college football, you'll be rooting for these 40 teams, and just like the NFL has 32, there'll be a lesser amount of college football teams.
Fitzy, NFL draft 2 weeks away. I love talking quarterback prospects with you, and one we have not, because of course he hadn't been on that first round radar, has been Jalen Milroe.
Oh, I love you. I brought him up. Go ahead.
Mel moved him up to the second pick of the second round, and I believe going to I believe it was the Giants. Either way, whoever it is, is there a path for Jalen Milroe that he looks down and he sees Jalen Hurts on the other end of this road, right? The success, second round pick that they once thought was all athlete, right? Maybe couldn't play quarterback in the league in terms of, right, becoming everything that you got to be a high level NFL quarterback, to be elite. You know, is there a path for Jalen Milroe if it's the right team and the right situation? What do you think of Jalen Milroe as a second round pick and a potential future?
Whoever gets Jalen Milroe in the second round, like, that is a home run to me. Best athlete of all the quarterbacks, by far the best athlete, has a huge arm, can make every throw, but he's not accurate. And we all know that. And his mechanics suck. So here's the thing. You draft him in the first round, you're pressured to play him, okay? You draft him in the second round,
yeah.
Man, if you're talking like, look, as my lifelong diehard Raiders fandom, right? Like, you tell me the Raiders take Jalen Milroe in the second round, okay, so now they're going to be coached by Pete Carroll, who's obviously had success with quarterbacks, even though he's a defensive guy, and he's going to be brought along slowly by Geno. I don't like that. I love that. I'm doing naked cartwheels in the street to celebrate that because, frankly, like at some point, you have to look at these guys and say, okay, what do you have and what do you not have? Right. So from an athleticism standpoint, from the ability to just beat anybody on the field, Jalen Milroe is a better athlete than Lamar. So now, like, the question is, how do you make him a good thrower? Like, and look, he's got a lot of work to do on that. But this is where, okay, so did Lamar. So did Josh Allen. I think the key for Jalen is that, man, it has never clicked consistently as a passer.
Right.
But if you give him 2 years of NFL coaching to just slow and low that thing and really figure it out, I've spent in this process since college football season started, I probably interviewed Jalen Milroe for a total of an hour of time in my life. He's an impressive kid. Like, he's smart. He understands football. He understands the weight that's on him. Like, he's everything that you want a kid to be, do, and say. He's got, and I don't say that about every kid that comes out. So to me, I just walked away from that and thought, man, if he gets to a building that has adults in the room that can bring him along the right way, like tell me he goes to Cleveland, I love that. If he's not playing year one and Stefanski gets a few years to work with him, I love that. If the Giants have more stability, and I believed that Dable would be there long term,
right.
I would love for Dable to have the chance to bring him along. Frankly, if the Titans took him in the second round, I'd feel better about that than what they're going to do with Cam Ward when they throw him to the Wolves and get him murdered. So, like, I think Jalen Milroe has a real chance to be special in the NFL. I truly believe that. I just think he's nowhere near a finished product. So
right.
With the caveat that, like, hey, he's not going to play until year three of his career, I would 100 – if you could Jordan Love him, I think he can be better than Jordan Love is for the Packers all day, every day. So I think he's for sure an early second-round pick. I'm wondering right now, knowing that he accepted the invite to the draft, I'm wondering if his team really believes somebody's going to trade back up into the bottom of the first round to get him. And if they do that, I think the intelligent part of it is you're getting yourself the fifth-year option on him and you're buying yourself more time to develop him. As long as he goes somewhere with adults in the room and he can be developed, I think he can end up being the best quarterback in this class.
That's a statement. That is a statement.
He is so right about the Giants situation. Who helped Josh Allen get accurate? Now, I used to give him too much credit, Dable, for what Josh Allen has become. A lot of that's in, but was he not there? And it was not Josh Allen coming out of Wyoming, whatever it was, inaccurate, everything else, big athlete, but boy, he can't hit the side of a barn. And they fixed that. But your point is right. There is no stability there with Shane and with Dable. And so that could end up becoming a bad situation for Milroe. But if there was,
this is where the Bills, too, like, they did the unprecedented thing in letting him grow on the field, and they didn't give a damn what anybody thought.
That's
like,
true.
Everybody was making fun of Buffalo the first year of Josh Allen. How could you draft this kid? He'll never be accurate. And they worked on it on the field and got it right.
Yeah.
I just think that's so rare. You know, that's just rare piece.
And Milroe, I'm with you, needs to sit. I'm with you. I think in his situation, learning would be better. You know, where you're waiting a little while.
Yeah, I'd say the same about Jackson Dart. Like, you tell me if Jackson Dart goes to the Rams and he's replacing in a couple of years, like he's becoming their quarterback, oh my God. Now, I mean, Jackson Dart, he gets McVay for a little bit and he gets to learn under Stafford. Like, my God, like you were putting that kid in a home run situation if that happened. So, and that's where I think so much of the success and the failure of this year's quarterbacks, when I don't think there's a superstar in this, like, I don't think there's a player as good as Trevor Lawrence, and there's organizations worse than the Jags picking. So they'll ruin him. Like, I'm sorry for Titans fans. I want the Titans to have the next Patrick Mahomes. I think the Tennessee Titans are going to draft Cam Ward year one. They're going to put him on the field year one. Callahan's going to get fired after a year. He's going to be learning a second system in year two.
Amen.
Behind a guy that's brought in as a quarterback whisperer that's probably not. We'll see if he's even a head coach. But before you know it, we're 4 years in, and Cam Ward is basically done as a starter in this league. And it had nothing to do with Cam Ward and everything to do with just the junk the Titans are as an organization. That's the future of Cam Ward in my mind. So, like, But if Cam Ward had gone in this, to the Rams where he's not playing year one, that's a totally different conversation. Like, Michael Penix Jr. was able to play really effectively at the end of the year,
yep.
But he didn't have to play for a while. I just think that we have to acknowledge that that's slow and low works for some of these guys. Like, it's just the inevitable process.
Yeah. Talking to Jason Fitz, join us every single week here on the show. Is it obvious to you at six, maybe I've asked you this before, but is it obvious to you that it's going to be Ashton Jeanty for the Raiders?
Yes. I say that with such hesitation. Chip Kelly loves to run the football. We know that. And Pete Carroll loves to run the football. We know that. And I think I think Ashton Jeanty ends up being the best running back taken in the draft since Christian McCaffrey or Saquon. Like, that's how good I think Ashton Jeanty is. So I think it makes a ton of sense. I also think that if you watch back at Pete Carroll's history with the Seahawks, he loved trading down. My guy loves trading down in the draft and taking running backs in the first round. If they've got an even close grade on it, I wonder if they consider trading down, picking up more picks and trying to, like, will they swing on Amari and Hampton later in the draft? I think there's a big drop off between the two. I also think it gets very tempting if this foot injury for any reason causes Abdul Carter to fall or Mason Graham is sitting there. Man, I don't know. Like, I think you give me a defensive line that has Abdul Carter and Max Crosby with Christian Wilkins back, or you give me Mason Graham, Christian Wilkins, and Max Crosby on that defensive line with Coots on the other end. Like, that's a special defensive line. And, I mean, you're going to – a defensive draft pick at six, if it's one of those two guys, will help the Raiders win more games year one than Ashton Jeanty will. I believe that. So I wonder if that becomes sexy for them.
Hey, I bet you didn't think you might get two running back questions. If my Bears take a running back in the second round, should it be – there's two Ohio State ones, Judkins and Henderson. I've seen them both mocked there, also the North Carolina running back, obviously. But if I was picking between the two Ohio State running backs, which one would I want if I'm a Bears fan?
The league believes Judkins is going to be better. I'll tell you that very distinctly. Like, there's a separation from everybody I've talked to about the two Ohio State running backs between the two. And I think also, you know, to tie it back to the Raiders question, let's remember that, you know, Chip Kelly knows these two running backs better than anybody. So in the second, like, for Bears fans that are sitting there saying, well, we'll take an Ohio State running back in the second round, the only thing I would tell you is that Chip Kelly's going to have a stab at that apple before you are. Mm-hmm. So if that's what you want, you better be rooting for the Raiders to take Ashton Jeanty in the first round. If they don't take Ashton Jeanty in the first round, I think it would be pretty damn tempting to take Judkins in the second round to give yourself the back that you need to build around. So that's the only area I would give. Cool. But yeah, Judkins at the combine, the way he ran shocked people. So he's absolutely helped himself.
Yeah. Fitz, man, you are you're the best. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, brother.
Every single week, man. Thank you.
Great stuff.
I appreciate it. Next time we'll get more than 90 seconds. That's what she said. All right, I appreciate you, brother.
That's what they all say. That's what they all say. Thanks, Fitz.
See you, boys.
Yep, he is Jason Fitz. Joins us usually on Tuesdays, but today is Wednesday.
Now, I must stop things. Our Ole Miss man in the building didn't like the Judkins pick.
I'm also looking at it, not just for what Judkins is. I mean, he's a three-down bell cow type back, has a ton of wear on the tires.
Now, he has been used up, hasn't he?
Yeah.
But he'd be in a backfield with DeAndre Swift, so it's not like you're going in saying, okay, you're Saquon Barkley or Christian McCaffrey, you're getting all the carries.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, but my other thought on that is I see a guy like Travion Henderson with how versatile he is working better in Ben Johnson's system.
Can catch out of the backfield.
Very well. Runs
well, because, you know, nobody he's has better. To be, you know.
He's better than Judkins there.
For sure.
Right. Yep.
And more explosive, you know, just quicker outside the tackles.
Yeah, nobody has to be a three-down back anymore, right? I mean, that's the
Well,
thing.
Ben had two up there with Montgomery and with Gibbs.
That's the thought process.
And so
for
that's
me.
The thought process, John. That's kind of where you go now, right?
Yeah.
Get two of them. Yeah. Except for y'all. You're going to have you a Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley type.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, that'd be nice. That would be very nice.
Those are fun.
Yeah. So, anyway, thanks to Jason Fitz for joining us on the show. We'll come back with the rundown. Stick around. Jason and John, I turn to ESPN.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.